Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:47 p.m. and this is August 21st. And it was a notable day for two particular reasons. One was that the S&P 500 very briefly got to a new all-time high. It has held on to about half of its advance in here today. But what's particularly interesting is that there are a significant number of shares had also moved to new highs in here today. And among those are, for example, American Express, which had been ranging for much of the year, but had held a very clear upward bias and has now broken on the upside. It is a little bit different from companies like Visa and MasterCard because it absorbs some of the liabilities and actually lends money as well, rather than simply acting as a transactions company like Visa or indeed MasterCard. Then you have Verizon, which has been ranging for approximately 5 years, and it is not quite at a new all-time high, but it is coming up towards the upper side of this range. And well, if we consider that ranges are explosions waiting to happen, the rollout of 5G, and we don't quite know what the pricing for that is likely to be yet, but it does represent a step change in terms of the kinds of services that will be available. It's also, when we think about 5G, Cisco has been rallying and moved to a new recovery high in here today. And that has benefited both from adopting a subscription business model, but also from the rollout of the infrastructure required to build out the 5G network. 5G is, I think, it is one of the precursors to the Internet of Things. We've heard a lot about the Internet of Things over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, but no real tangible evidence that it is in fact happening. And part of the reason for that is because bandwidth and the availability of a fast enough internet on a ubiquitous scale is just simply not available. There are plenty of sensors that are internet ready, but they aren't able to connect at the kinds of speeds necessary to drive deliver on the promise of the Internet of Things. But with the rollout of 5G, then that should potentially accelerate, and it is also one of the potential catalysts for continued growth in the economy. So that's and because of productivity growth drivers that we need in order to drive that kind of growth, well, 5G is certainly one of those. Well, BHP Billiton announced its earnings today, and they were rather impressive, and also it has boosted its dividend, but the share was in negative territory, and it is coming back down towards the lower side of its range, and this is approximating the region of the trend mean as well. Well, if the uptrend is going to remain reasonably consistent, then it should bounce from this area. It's bounced from the region of the trend mean on multiple occasions already, and as long as it continues to do so, that should, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. It is now also yielding 5.5%, so I think that's rather important in an environment where investors don't generally get a lot of return based on the comparatively low interest rates that we have just about everywhere. Rio Tinto is also back testing its progression of higher reaction lows. It has dipped below the trend mean before, but it is now further below the trend mean than at any time since early 2016. So if it's going to bounce, then we're pretty close to where that should start to happen. Well, the other big story that was coming through today was in the weakness of the dollar. And the euro was up by about 90 ticks. It got all the way up to 116, which is, generally speaking, the lower side of the overhead trading range. This is the first area of potential resistance, and it didn't quite hold all of its advance through the close in here today. It is going to have to push further up. It's going to have to sustain a move back above 118 to break the progression of lower rally highs and sustain a move above the trend mean to really questioned the downward bias evidence since the beginning of this year. But this has been a rather impressive move in here today. It certainly has chastened some of the more aggressive bears, and it suggests that at a minimum we have a low of a near-term significance. The pound has also been very weak over the course of the last few months, and it was down on consecutive days for the first half of this month. So now we're getting some short covering coming through, and it is pushing back up towards that 130 level. But this has been a reasonably consistent downtrend, and certainly it did accelerate down to the lows that we saw last week. So there is potential for an unwinding of the oversold condition, but it really does need to break the progression of lower rally highs to question the overall downward bias. And when we think about what exactly is going on in terms of the dollar, well, we know that the Fed's minutes are going to be released tomorrow, and that Jay Powell is going to be speaking at Jackson Hole on Friday. So investors will be looking rather keenly for any sign that the Federal Reserve is paying attention to Donald Trump's tweets and his complaints that he isn't getting enough help from the Federal Reserve. I suspect that the Federal Reserve is not particularly inclined to pay much attention to what politicians have to say, but we will see tomorrow. Well, when we look at what is going on in the bond markets, then the 10-year Treasury future was mildly in negative territory in here today, but not in a dynamic manner at all. And certainly it has been ranging for much of the last 3 months. Now, that has unwound a lot of the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. There is an enormous short position in these bonds, and that the size of that short position has been increasing despite the fact that the price hasn't been going anywhere. So people really are betting that this range below 3% on the 10-year yield is going to be resolved on the upside. Well, the yield is back in the region of the lower side of its range. It is approximating the region of the trend mean. So this is the do or die level. It is either going to fail at this region, or it is going to improve. And there are, I think when we look at a range, particularly in the region of a big psychological level, we can conclude that supply and demand have come back into balance, that there are competing forces here. On the one hand, you have the rather large source of supply that is coming from the US government and the Treasury, where they need to finance this massive fiscal package that continues to act as a tailwind for the economy, and also to refinance all the debt that has been taken out, well, was taken out 10 years ago to deal with the financial crisis. But then you also have the stress that is in the emerging markets and the relative safe haven characteristics of US treasuries, which have represented a tailwind for the market. And those two arguments right now are in equilibrium. So that is not going to last indefinitely, and eventually we are going to get a breakout. Well, I continue to think that this is a base formation, but considering just how large the short position is, that would suggest that lots of other people are sharing that conclusion. And generally speaking, when you've got a consensus in the markets, then there is potential to pressure it. So I think this is a very interesting level that US treasuries are at right now. Well, the S&P 500 had broken up to new high ground, and that also suggests that there is still demand or appetite for risk assets. Now, the VIX index, which has been contracting now since the spike higher in early February, was in a mildly positive territory in here today. It bounced from the 10 area last or 2 weeks ago. What I think is important to highlight over the last few years is that this is somewhat different looking than the very inert period of volatility that we had in 2017. In 2017, the index broke records for the number of times that it traded below 10, whereas that has pretty much stopped in 2018. And I think that there is a much greater potential for this to range between 10 and 20 than to range below 10 for the foreseeable future. Well, when we look at the commodity complex, then gold prices have been rallying now for 3 days, but they're back now towards that $1,200 area. And this is a rather big psychological level. But I think the more important point is that there has been a progression of lower rally highs. There has been one range below another. And it is that sequence that needs to be broken in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. What we also haven't seen for quite a long time is a higher reaction low. So in the event that prices rally somewhat further and then pull back, what we need to see is that demand is coming back in at a higher level, which would suggest that people are bargain hunting. And what we're seeing right now is, I think, more evidence of short covering than bargain hunting. And obviously, there is an enormous short position because we've seen articles to that effect, and there is a significant amount of short interest in the market right now. And we are at a rather interesting level around the $1,200 region, but we need to see a very clear move. And one of the problems that with drawing a conclusion that the absolute low in the decline is in, is that the rallies that we've seen so far in gold have been reasonably muted. And what we need to see are very clear upward dynamics, similar to the size of the dynamics that we've seen on the downside. Now, when we look back in May and June and in August, we've seen very, very clear downward dynamics. And the upward dynamics have been comparatively small by comparison. And that suggests that there isn't quite the same degree of faith in the market that we've seen previously. So I think that that's an important characteristic, that we're probably in for a bit of volatile ranging in a support building phase for gold before it can truly break the downtrend. But a very clear upward dynamic could happen any day if some big shorts are pressured. Well, one of the potential big sellers in this market has been Turkey, that the weakness of the currency has obviously put a great deal of pressure on the government. They have been among the top four buyers of gold over the course of the last few years. So in that kind of stressful environment, they may have been selling gold, and that could have contributed to the decline, but that is largely anecdotal. Then when we look at the ETF holdings of gold, which have been an important swing source of demand for the market. Well, ETF holdings had broken down 2 weeks ago, and that is an inconsistency relative to what had been a previously reasonably consistent trending environment. But the pullback so far has not been so wide that it represents a rout. But we know that institutional investors are betting against gold, and that is the most animated part of the market right now, that the ETF buyers do not appear to be particularly active right now. And that is something of a headwind for the market as well. Well, if the gold price has been weak, then the gold shares have been even weaker. And that was a very accelerated decline we saw in gold shares last week. And now the rebound has been relatively muted. So there is a short-term oversold condition. But if we compare this decline to the decline that we saw at the beginning of 2017, then we can see that the size of the dynamics is nowhere near as large as what we saw then. And what we truly need is a big up week to chasten the bears. And so far, we have not yet seen that. But there is no doubt that this low approximates the same region as the low that we saw at the end of 2016. So it is a potential area of support. then silver prices have also rebounded somewhat, but again, not in a particularly impressive manner. So I think that this is still a rather taut environment. Silver prices are in the region of that spike low we saw in the middle of 2017, and certainly they accelerated to get down to this level. And the current level is approximating the lows that we first saw in 2014, then 2015, and 2017. So it's a potential area of support, but and there is a short-term oversold condition, so we may see some steadying, but so far there has been a distinct absence of clear upward dynamics that would really help to turn the tide of investor sentiment. So I think this is still a rather risky environment. Now, if we turn our attention to the oil market, it was up by about a dollar in early trading and paired some of that advance, but the most important thing is that it continues to firm from that $70 area that represents the region of the trend mean. And as long as it's doing that, well, then we're still in a reasonably consistent environment. And copper prices have been also been steady over the last four sessions, but it has taken them four sessions to unwind the decline that it just took one day to put in. So again, the rebound has not been nearly as impressive as it could have been, and now it's in the region of the lower side of that overhead trading range. So this is the first area of potential resistance, and we'll see exactly what kind of rebound we get. I think it is I think worth highlighting that the rebounds that we've seen in the euro and the pound and in commodities have in large part coincided with the relative or just the unwinding of a short-term overbought condition by the dollar. But the dollar was not weak against everything, and the Brazilian real broke through four in here today. So this is now breaking down again, and what that suggests to me, at least, is that this period of relative quietness that we've seen in the Brazilian market is over, and that the risk in the Brazilian election and the potential for a firebrand or a populist to grab attention is rising. And when we look right across the Latin American region, there are a number of problem cases. This is potentially rather dangerous from an investment perspective, considering the stress that is coming to bear in some of the region's largest economies, where you have Argentina, Brazil, and Venezuela all under pressure. And this is in fact, the relative quiet that we've seen in the Mexican peso is, I think, rather questionable here. But nonetheless, it has held the region of its peaks, and so far the dollar has not been rebounding in an aggressive manner here. But it's probably going to take a rather profound catalyst if we're going to see the Mexican peso strengthen through 18. So I think it is looking rather rich in at this particular point. Now, if we turn our attention to Asia, the Nifty was in mildly positive territory in here today, and the Rupee has was in mildly negative territory, but so far we haven't seen a great deal of follow through to the breakdown that we've seen in the rupee. And the relative strength from the Indian markets is at odds with the kind of weakness that we've seen in other markets. Then when we look at the Indonesian market, we're continuing to see a rebound in the Jakarta Composite Index. The Malaysian market has also rebounded and is now back above the trend mean, and the Singaporean market has pulled back to its lows. So that is rather different. And when we look at, let me just remember the ticker for the banking sector, the Singaporean banks have a very large weighting in the Singaporean market, and it has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. So this is an important area where it really does need to hold those lows, or we're talking about a completed top formation. And that is following what has been a really very impressive trending environment since the beginning of 2016. Then when we look at Vietnam, the index had done spectacularly well all the way through 2017 and through to the beginning of this year. And then the advance was capped with a large downside key reversal and followed through on the downside the week after. Now it is back testing the region of the trend mean, and this is about where it needs to continue to rally. This is a potential area of resistance, and there is a short-term overbought condition, so it needs to hold on to the majority of its advance. It ideally needs to push back above the thousand point level, and worst case scenario, it would need, or I guess the minimum requirement would be that it puts in a higher reaction low. So this is a rather interesting environment right now for the Vietnamese market. And then when we take a look at the Thai market, it's right in the region of the trend mean, and the index had bounced from that 1600 point level, which was the upper side of the underlying trading range. Now when we take a look at the baht, then it has pulled back rather violently over the course of the first half of this year. But this is some substantial strengthening that we've seen just this week. So that may hold back the appreciation of the stock market in the short term, but the strength of the baht is rather a standout. And now the question is whether it can follow through and push back below the trend mean. If the baht can strengthen up, then that's likely to be a rather important arbiter for its ability to attract investor interest, particularly against a background where emerging market currencies have been rather weak. Well, when we think about weak currencies, then the Chinese renminbi has been stronger for four consecutive sessions. I think it's rather hilarious that they're saying they're not going to use the renminbi as a weapon in the trade war. Well, I think anyone who looks at the speed and the size of the decline that we've seen in the renminbi would probably have a difference of opinion with that particular statement. The Chinese need a weaker currency, and they are certainly they're not really arresting the direction of the decline, but simply trying to arrest the speed of the decline. The Chinese banking sector has bounced from the most recent low, and now it has two higher reaction lows. Now, it is unwinding the short-term oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but the fact that SHIBOR rates have come down by 200 basis points and that the banking sector is bouncing from this 12,000 level suggests that the Chinese government is beginning to take seriously the deterioration that we've seen in the stock market, and that's good news. It suggests that they are at least alert to the fact that there are pressures building in the financial sector and that there is an acute need for liquidity. So when we look at what's going on in the world, then Wall Street continues to lead, and Europe is at least stable. And the rebound that we're getting in the euro and the pound is rather encouraging, but we're certainly not out of the woods yet. And I think that Europe is rather exposed to what's going on in Turkey and in China, and that is not something that is likely to just evaporate overnight. But the Italian index was up in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today, and considering that that has been among the weakest, it's holding out the prospect of at least unwinding the short-term oversold condition. But it has a lot of work to do to really question the overall downward bias. So I think that the big takeaway is that a number of short-term oversold conditions look likely to be unwound, but that there has been sufficient technical deterioration done that we could be in for some rather lengthy ranging to I think repair some of the technical damage. In the meantime, Wall Street remains the relative strength leader, and that is likely to remain the case. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.